Everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli. Get Stuffed. That's the name of the podcast. And I'm here with you every single week to talk about food, weight, fat, heavy, disgusting topics that have to do with things I've been working on my whole life and that I think you probably are too. We're talking about a little bit of self-help, a little bit of self-hate, a little bit of self-love, all wrapped up in the person who exemplifies that most. My good friend and co-host, Mike Morse. Hi, Mike.
Thank you. Self-hate is a specialty.
It is. You do very well. Mm-hmm. And comics always do well with self-hate.
Well, of course.
I mean, you can't really go up on stage and say, you know what I really love?
There's nothing funny about positivity.
Exactly. I remember when I first took a comedy class from Michael Jackson, and this was a different Michael Jackson. This one was black. He taught us, he goes, write a list of 50 things you love and 50 things you hate, and you need to write from a point of strong emotion. Mm-hmm. So if you love something or hate something, it's going to have a better emotional content as a bit than I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about it. Like, you can't be all Jewish about it, which is, I didn't love it. You have to be like, I fucking hate it.
Yes.
But I found when I made my list of loves and hates, first of all, the hate list just flowed. The love list was super effing short. I was like, oh, I get it. I hate, and hate is funny. Mm-hmm. So I think most comics go to that first.
Well, you have to be annoyed or pissed at something to comment on it and you throw that bile.
Yeah. Good. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Speaking of love and hate, I want to focus today on, as you heard, the current super group Boston singing More Than a Feeling. That was not an ironic twist. That was an actual song that we picked because honestly, anything I've done in my life, I don't think, I just feel and then I do. There's no intervention. It's not like I feel sad. I don't think I should eat. Okay, I won't. I feel lonely. I don't think I should have sex with a random stranger. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I am. 2 seconds later with both, you're just wiping off your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk today about how feelings affect us and what we do in order to counteract those feelings. Because obviously, cognitive intervention doesn't always work.
Right.
Have you ever, what are your issues, Mike? Because I've been pretty honest about saying in my younger years, it was dating, and it's always been food since I was 18 years old. What were your, when you're uncomfortable with your feelings, what do you go to?
I tend, as many manly men do, I tend to shut down. Stop.
It's so funny when you pretend to be a guy. I love that.
No, I tend to shut down. I won't give my emotions. I'll just blank out. Even if I don't want to sometimes, I'm like, I really should share something. And it's just like, no, I'm just going
to
sit here.
Are you the type of guy who, if you went to an AA meeting or an OA or whatever A it is, that you wouldn't share?
I would not share anything.
Why don't it's
none of their goddamn business.
Oh, you know what's funny about that, though? Whenever I'd go to those meetings, because I've never had an alcohol problem, but I would go to AA to work on my food stuff. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, I can apply the same principles to food. So I would go, I couldn't wait to talk. And I would cry and emote. Wow. And one time, there's this rule, no crosstalk. I didn't know that. A girl shared, and I said, you know, you're right about that. And they said, yeah, there's no crosstalk, you're retarded. So, you know, be that as it may, I love sharing. And sometimes I should have the opposite reaction and do what you do, is shut the F up and just listen.
Right. Well, but I actually went, a friend of mine I went to support, and I was noticing at this meeting that some people are really into, and it was actually one guy was doing shtick. He was like,
That's a great.
He's getting laughs. This guy's killing.
Well, you know what's funny? They have the best stories. AA, I had a friend who was in AA for years, and he goes, my favorite story ever was this woman, very Park Avenue classy, sort of Anna Wintour type, who said at her most desperate point, at her biggest bottom, she had drunk or drank, whatever the proper term is, an entire bottle of Chanel No. 5.
Wow.
Now that to me is a classy drunk. But you're going to laugh, and you almost have to laugh to get over this stuff. It's different when we go, though, and try to entertain people. I have a friend who goes to Al-Anon in L.A., and she calls me and she goes, Lise, I fucking killed today in Al-Anon. And I'm like, I don't know if that's what you're supposed to be doing, but that's okay. But that's where it all starts. Ever since I lost the weight with the surgery and kept it off, you don't keep it off by feeling your feelings and then still going to food. You try to process them. Mm. But ever since I lost the weight, people are like, well, didn't you just eat because you like food? It's like, no, food's freaking great. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better. Oh, by the way, I still haven't found anything that feels as good as food tastes. I don't think that exists. I don't want to take a long bath. I don't want to go for a walk. I don't want to go in nature. Fuck nature. I don't care about nature. I still love food. Mm-hmm. But the big reason I ate, and that I think a lot of people do, it's just when you emotionally have to. Mm-hmm. Where you go, what else do I have? I don't like booze. I'm not dating anymore. Boom, let's go to food.
And it's the easiest too, because there's
yes.
you have to eat, and
yep.
there's food everywhere to drink. You have to go to a bar or a liquor store, and
right.
you can't drive if you're too drunk, and to even sex, you got to find somebody to do it with.
Yeah, like there's a huge cock block to most of these things, yeah. but boy, can you get food. Like yesterday, I took my dog, since it's the fall, I was like, you know what, I'm going to take my dog for a walk, because I heard on Howard Stern, where Howard said that there was a news item where people don't walk their dogs enough. He said, oh boy, I feel guilty because Howard's right. He knows about these animals. So I decide to walk my dog. I went one block because I don't really walk a lot.
You're right.
I literally passed four open stores that are all food. Mm-hmm. It's not like it wasn't even daytime and they were all open. In New York, that's all there is.
Right.
And P.S., I'm smart enough to buy a house in Connecticut. Guess what? It's near the only 7-Eleven in the town. It's literally a block away from a 7-Eleven. I think this is a thing where I'm like, these are challenges. These are mm-hmm. things that I have to deal with. I'm not going to ever not be able to get food.
Right. You're never more than a short walk away from a Slurpee.
Oh, my God. That's so true. And they have sugar-free ones now. But anyway, so I say that the fat people know that stuff. And the triggers, though, are funny because they don't just come from seeing food. Like, I think everybody goes, I was triggered when I saw donuts. Yeah, mm-hmm. no. I think we're triggered by way deeper stuff. Like, right now, we're about to open my play, Stuffed. And let me tell you something, Mike. The casting is really interesting because mm-hmm. you have to cast women with different food issues mm-hmm. who, so they have different body types. So Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray is playing the big girl who likes herself. I'm playing myself because I'm a terrific actress and have that kind of range.
Mm-hmm.
The two other girls are super tiny. They are maybe a size zero. Mm. And you know this girl comes by it, honestly, too, because she's just very tiny boned. She's on Orange is New Black. I noticed her immediately on the show because I go, well, that's a girl who's really never been able to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that struggle. And the other character plays the anorexic. Well, let me tell you something. Every time I'm done with rehearsal, after talking about food for 6 hours in a rehearsal, plus standing next to two women who are a size zero and maybe a four, and I'm in the best shape of my life, I'm maybe a 6/8, I feel like the fat one. And it's like I'm not the type who can compare myself to the bigger girl and go, oh, don't I look great? Mm-hmm. I look at the small ones.
Right.
I never gravitate towards making fun of the fat ones except on stage, which is hilarious.
The milkshake shake is half empty, not
yeah.
half full.
It's so true. You know what Jimmy used to say about me? My ex-husband, Jimmy Big Balls, would say to me, he goes, you know what? You're not even that. You know how they say the glass is half empty? You're not even half empty. He goes, you know what? You're that paper cup with the point at the bottom that just doesn't even work that well. And it's true. Like, I get triggered by many, many things. So I'm noticing that with these two girls, and it's not their fault. It's my trigger. Being around super small women makes me feel less than mm-hmm. and inferior. And I'm like, why? Because guess what? I could literally diet until I'm almost dead. that's a size I could never achieve.
Right.
So you go to yourself, okay, they're triggering me to feel less than what I am. That's my responsibility. It has nothing to do with them. I'm not mad at them. But I just got to go, hey, I'm fine the way I am. How often in life do we really feel fine the way we are? Instead, we go home and we say, well, that food will make me feel better.
Right.
If I just sit there with the dog and eat a bowl or whatever, I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. So I think one of my big triggers is being around people who are, quote unquote, better than me.
And you can always find it. I mean, it's you'll go looking for it if it's not right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's true. You'll find not just the food, the people who you think are better than mm-hmm. you. Like, I could right now think of 8,000 people more famous, 8,000 people more smart, 8,000 people who are more successful. And you just go, God, do I really want to seek that out? How about we all take the next week, people, mm-hmm. look for real fucking losers. You go out there and you find the most misshapen, horrible burn victim.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I'm pretty. You find yourself a fat bastard and say, I'm skinny. I don't care if you're 800 pounds. You can find somebody online that you could feel better than. So I think people have to, instead of compare and despair, you have to compare and rejoice. Sadly, that's not such a good slogan because it doesn't rhyme.
Mm.
I like a rhyming slogan. However, you know what? Compare and... I don't care. How about that one?
I like that.
Parent, don't care. Maybe not say it like that, yeah, that but feel it.
Right. I would say that. Yeah. And if you're looking for groups of people who are really heinous looking, we have to find places like maybe Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Or just Alabama as a whole. And I do mean H-O-L-E.
Seaside Heights Boardwalk.
That yes, yes. If you like white pumps after Labor Day, that's the place to go. So yeah, that was very triggering. And it's weird what sets you off. Because who think to myself, oh, standing next to two skinny girls is going to make me feel horrible.
Right, because you're not fat.
Not no more. No. Not. And can you imagine if I... Because you want to know what's funny? If I was standing next to them when I was 248, I'd feel like I'm not even in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. I'm making fun of myself. I'm the fat girl. Now if I make a fat joke about myself, they look at me and they're like, she's mentally ill. So yeah. And also, do you ever have like where you want to go to something just because you're exhausted? Like I am tired all the time now from rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, well, wait, before this play, I had kind of a life of my own. Now I kind of don't have any time. I'm doing all the press for the show and I'm doing all this rehearsing and trying to be in a good mood all the time. My go-to when I'm tired is food. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not getting sleep, I get food instead.
Mm-hmm.
So those two play off of each other. They say one of the four pillars of wellness is sleep. And when we're not getting sleep, we compensate with one of the other three. Well, mm-hmm. the other three are stress reduction, exercise, mm-hmm. and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention sleep twice?
You did.
No, exercise, okay. Stress reduction, sleep. If we're not getting sleep, and a good diet. So those are four pillars. Well, I'm not getting sleep, so I'm not going to go to stress reduction because I live on stress. I love it. Mm. I don't love it really, but I do. I have to operate on it. I'm certainly not going to go to exercise because that can fuck itself. I'm going to go to the food instantly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I go to. And I think a lot of people go to food for this.
Right. Well, yeah, if you can't eat if you're sleeping. So, but if you're not sleeping, then you can eat.
There you go. What do you think triggers, like what... in your life, or what have you read about triggers? Like, what do people say really makes you eat?
Funny you should mention that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, honestly, like, I'm totally acting surprised, but I'm not acting because I know that in my life, it's been exhaustion and feelings, but that's pretty much all I can figure out.
Right. Well, I actually looked up because this is what I do. I'm a crack.
You're a crackhead?
Yeah, crackhead.
That's good.
And so I found from Women Fitness online. They had
I don't trust them because see, women I don't trust first of all, and I don't trust people who are fit. I enjoy men who are unfit, and that's why I have you as a friend. So I'm going to go with you on this one. Go ahead.
All right. And these are their triggers. They had the top 10 triggers for overeating.
Mm.
So I was going to see if you can guess. You already said, which one did you already say? You already said
tiredness, exhaustion all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So lack of energy and feeling tired. All right.
I got one.
So you got that.
My God. Good. Okay. Cool. All right. Okay.
So there's 9 more. Let's see if you can figure out what they are.
Okay. Now, I know the last time I was compelled to eat, not the last time, but over the past year, this has really hit me hard. When all that stuff about Bill Cosby came out, I was very upset because I said to myself, you know what? Why not me? Bill Cosby had, quote unquote, raped many, many women. I was coming up in the business. Yeah. I could have used a little help. He did not reach out to me. I feel like it is triggering when Bill Cosby does not want to stick it in you. Is that on the list?
Let me check. No, that one is not.
You don't even have a buzzer sound for me.
I can do this.
That was very good. That was very good.
That's not one of the top 10 triggers. It might be 11.
Yeah, it could be. I bet it is. Yeah. Look that up. Do it in Men's Unfit magazine. Now, what's another trigger they say?
Another trigger. Do you want to guess or you want me
to give you one?
No, you
tell me one.
I'll give you one.
I'll tell you if it even affects me. Because, listen, I don't talk out of my ass except at one hour a week on Get Stuffed. But people know I've lived this, so they must feel the same things I'm feeling. People must, if I say, if I weigh in on this, people are going to agree with me.
Okay. Here's one. Feeling deprived of food that you feel you're not getting since you're dieting.
Ugh, that's a bullshit reason. I don't agree. Oh, I'm not getting enough of food, so I eat food. Listen. Fat people, we always get enough food. I honestly, Mike, I got a little trigger that I'm going to say. It doesn't make me overeat. It makes me fucking explode with anger. Yeah. When people go, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. I'm not eating enough. Listen, stop it. When you get your stomach cut out like I did, you get to eat very small, tiny portions, so you drop weight really fast. Right. Well, if they were eating such little thinking amounts, why aren't they losing weight? This, you know what people do? There was a study that said people underestimate their calorie intake by over 40%.
Wow.
So basically, if you think you're eating 1,200 a day, I'm not going to do the math, but I'm guessing
36,000?
Yeah, 36 million calories a day. No, it's like 1,600 calories you're eating. So, you know, maybe even more. Yeah. So you're underestimating it. So that really pisses me off when people say, no, I don't know. I hardly eat. No, you know what? Guess what? Your metabolism is fine. Just fucking suck it up, bitch.
Well, when you're a large person says, oh, I'm not hungry.
Oh,
you're like, who are you kidding?
Come on. Okay. You're hungry because you're feeling.
It's the sneak eating.
It's, well, you know, sneaking eating. Mm-hmm. It's a whole game unto itself. You know what you should do instead? How about fat people sneak some gum chewing? That'd really help. Or get your stomach cut out. It worked for me.
That helps too.
What else?
All right. How about boredom? They say boredom. I'm going to give myself a ding, even though I know the answers.
Wait. You eat out of boredom?
I don't. That's what women fitness.
Yeah, but you personally?
I guess because sometimes if you're not even thinking about it.
So you're just mindlessly eating.
Yeah, I guess that would count as that.
But people like us, if you have enough going on in your life, how could we possibly be bored? Like if you're watching, even if you're, say, binge watching something, which is fine. Hmm. Say you're watching season 1 through 5 in one day of House of Cards.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is very possible since I was late to the party on that one, and it's fucking great.
Very great.
You're not bored because you're engaged with some good entertainment.
Right.
If you have a boring life, that's a trigger to maybe try something so you don't put your freaking hand to your mouth every 3 seconds.
Well, this also might also, though, while you're watching, you're so engrossed that you're not even realizing you ate the whole bag instead of.
Yeah, so that's more mindless eating of going, you know, I'm going to do that. I think this women's fitness bullshit is saying people are bored, so they eat, I got nothing else to do. You know what? Get a hobby. You ever hear a decoupage? You ever hear a little papier-mâché? A little papier-mâché, as they say in French.
Make some great gifts for your family.
I have a friend, Bob. Mm-hmm. Gay Bob. Now, Gay Bob is my original gay. I met him when I first got out of college. This guy had to give up the alcohol because he was a big, dirty drunk. Mm-hmm. This guy wrote music. He was a painter, like a fine artist. He was bored one day and took up playing the harp. And I don't mean the mouth harp like Bon Jovi did back in the 80s. This guy learned that's the hardest freaking thing to play.
And totally ridiculous because where are you going to play a fucking harp?
Hey, he does many funerals. But this is the thing. If you're bored, get a hobby. And it doesn't have to be a harp because those are expensive.
Yeah, and big.
Paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
paint. Go bake a cake. Wait, no, then because you'll eat that cake.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, listen, bored people. I'm not buying it. If you're, and certainly by listening to this podcast, they will not be bored. No. Listen, Mike, I want to take a break and I'll tell you why. I'm going to think about this trigger thing over the break. I'm going to try to figure out more reasons why I eat. And I have a few stories from last week that are still pissing me off that made me want to go to food when I shouldn't have. So we're going to come back and I'm going to be angry. I know that's a newsflash for everybody involved.
Stay tuned.
But folks, stay tuned. We're going to come back and we're going to go to some of your comments. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli back in like a couple.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse. We are talking about feelings today. Feelings.
Nothing more than.
You have a very nasal voice. I don't like it.
Nothing
I
more
don't,
than.
No, it's nasal, but lower. It's not good. No. I'm having feelings that I want to overeat right now. Now, Mike, you know, we were talking before the break about triggers and things that make us eat. And I was thinking, I had a couple things happen to me that this week that really did bother me. And you know, people think, oh, she's heightening it, making it funny for comedy. No, I'm not going to say something like, oh, I had to do an audition for the Rebel Wilson story and wanted to bulk up. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to like say things like that. I'm not going to say, oh, I found out I had cancer of the taint, so I ate a bucket of chicken. Or three. No, those are not things that really happen to me. But we do weird things that make us want to eat, drink, party, do whatever we do, date inappropriate people. Two things happen to me. First of all, now that I'm in rehearsals for the play, we have a lot of food. Mm-hmm. And it's not that kind of food that they have on a set. It's actually props in the play. So every day, we'll have lots of donuts, cupcakes. We talked about cupcakes at a previous broadcast, how it's just I'm trying to not eat sugar. Pizza, all this good stuff. And I don't know what I'm doing, but there's a piece of pizza gone. There was a bite. I'm trying to piece it together. I took a bite and I said, Lisa, here's a slippery slope you're on. Mm-hmm. Here's how it starts. Yes. It's going to start where you, if you eat this whole piece, all bets are off for the rest of the rehearsals and you're going to gain 10 pounds because this could easily happen.
You opened a floodgate.
Yeah. So guess what? I ate the whole piece. Not only from eating dairy was I stopped like a friggin' lunatic. I hadn't had dairy in a long time. It made me feel like crap. I was exhausted the rest of the day, which what do I need to do then? Eat more.
Right.
So it's weird to be surrounded by the subject matter and the food 24/7. But then I figure to myself, don't you deserve it? Do you ever have that thing where you go, I've deprived myself, so I deserve it. And also, the big thing is, I walked to the theater. Well, in New York, you do a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. And by you, I mean everybody but me. I don't walk to the theater. I drive my car. I'm not some fancy celebrity who has a driver.
I remember the time, there was a premiere for a movie that was like a block away.
And I drive!
It took you longer to get the car out.
And park. There's something about my car. I like my car. I want to be in the controlled environment. I like control. I drive to the theater. The parking lot is literally a block and a half away. But in my twisted mind, I go, boy, I just exercised. I deserve a little more food. So any hardship I have, and I get that it's not hardship. It's not like, oh, we had a flood in Houston. Hard. Is that what they had? They had something.
Something.
I don't remember. Who cares? It's not me. I don't have family in Texas. I go, ooh, poor me. Well, I deserve this. So I end up doing something what they call counterintuitive, which is, oh, I canceled out any chance of exercise and getting any, what the 13 calories I burned, I sort of made up for it in food.
Well, you know what you should do is premiere your play in Secaucus, New Jersey and walk there.
That's true, but you know what I do? I drive. You know, I'd drive and I'd park even closer. Or I'd call somebody from the theater to park my car for me so I wouldn't have to go any steps. But do you ever hear about this? Women often talk about, well, because I went to the gym, I could have a muffin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a trade-off. You do the bargaining.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Of course. You have to. You have to say, you know, you look at what you've eaten or not eaten. And anything, even if you're drinking beer, it's like, well, I can have a couple, but I don't want to do six of them because then I'm right. going to be loaded and I can't do anything with food. It's like, well, you know, I did this today.
Right.
I deserve it. Yeah.
Which makes no sense because then there's no net gain. There's no right. loss, right. no weight loss.
But it's like gambling. If you come out of a casino and you haven't lost any and you've had a good time, you put in the $200,
you break even, but you're still the fat guy in the rascal. You yes. know what I mean?
Well, like, you have to start with a more, you can't start at the 500 pounds and say, all right, I'm even. No, once you get down to normal.
Right.
And then you say, okay, well, I can, you know, as long as I stay within this
range.
The range, it's okay.
I don't know. Why are there the mindset of some people, like the really big weight loss gurus, like the ones who don't talk about anything other than food and exercise, they go, why would anyone do something counterintuitive? If you've exercised, why? It makes you want to eat less. I've always found it the opposite.
Yeah.
I want more because I feel, look at the sacrifice I've made. Yeah.
Well, I see these guys with the abs, the six packs, and really ripped. And I'm thinking, how much time do you have to put into that
right.
to get to look like? You have to do that. That's a 24-hour-a-day thing.
That's their job.
That's their job, is to look that way. And I don't have that kind of...
Mike, you don't have that time. You don't have that physique.
You don't have that
mentality. No. Also, I think celebrities... when they start to lose weight or gain weight, it's more of I don't know, they're in the public eye, so there's a struggle. I mm-hmm. felt like since I'm so honest about it, it doesn't even really matter. Mm-hmm. Like if I gain weight, I'm going to talk to you about it truthfully. I'm going to just be like, oh, this sucks, it's a struggle. But do you think celebs have more trouble dealing with the limelight and this weight loss and gain?
Well, I think if you're a celebrity who's prone to gain weight and you do, it's much tougher because everybody's going to comment on it, especially right. now with social media.
Right.
You know, somebody you haven't seen in a year comes out and they're 20 pounds heavier. That's going to be the hashtag of the day.
Well, what's funny is I would have killed to only be 20 pounds heavier back in the day.
Right.
Like when you come on, you gain 100. That's pretty bad. I remember, let me think, in my career, I think I was pretty even. I started out fat and just stayed fat for a really long time. So mm-hmm. that's who I was. Then I pulled a Jonah Hill, which is I got thin and people thought I wouldn't be funny, but I'm clearly just hilarious. Uh-huh. So it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's like took people time to adjust to the thinner me, mm-hmm. and I still get like the negative tweets about like, oh, you look better fat, which is always by a fat person who's going to die. So I think we just got to go, you know, social media has really fucked us. Because right now, I won't even look at what people say, because suppose they say something mean or negative. Like, what happened to Honey Boo Boo's mom? Like, I don't even know if she's fat still or thin still or whatever.
She is super thin now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is she still ugly as fuck?
She is down-home Southern charming.
Oh, boy. So ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happens. Hey, Honey Boo Boo wasn't anything to look at herself. I'll tell you something.
I haven't seen her. I don't know if she's lost weight.
Oh, I doubt it. Well, you know, Honey Boo Boo is at least safe from being molested. Because, as you know, fat kids are never molested. I think we've Now, as we talk about these feelings, nothing more than feelings, mm-hmm. I had put it out there to my Twitter fan base mm-hmm. and my Facebook people to find out what behaviors, because obviously it's way more than food. It's not just food. It's other things. What do people say in my little world, since I won't read my social media? What do they say they stuff their feelings with?
All right, well, I happen to be looking at that coincidentally.
Wow.
I know. This is like kismet.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, Jay says food and cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, cigarettes.
That's really bad. Did you ever smoke?
Never. I tried to smoke once in college. Freshman year of college, I went away, and I thought it was my chance to reinvent myself. Clearly, this did not work. I went in thinking, because I was thin until I went away to college. I said, I'm going to change my name and I'm going to smoke. So I don't know how you come up with those things, but I remember I was going to Boston College. That was my first year. We had a little mixer during the summer before we went to college. I wore the name tag that says, hello, my name is Brooke.
Brooke.
Because I thought Brooke Shields was so pretty and so adorable. And it was my favorite name because I loved the movie Endless Love. And I was like, oh, I want my life to be like that, where a guy can have sex with me even on my period and we'd have such a good time. So I changed my name to Brooke and I smoked cigarettes. Mm. I didn't even know how to inhale. I remember I was smoking in an elevator once because back then it was, those were the days.
Mm-hmm. You could do it anywhere.
1983, yeah. You could smoke anywhere. And a guy looked at me and he goes, stop even trying. Mike, there's no shame like a guy looking at you and saying, just stop trying. So guess what I went to? Food.
Food.
So thank God I avoided cigarettes due to that mean guy, but you can't avoid food, as we've said.
Hey, but, and with your personality, it's a surprise that you didn't keep going, because any kind of addictive personality like you have of that kind of comfort.
Yes.
You could have done both, you know, smoke and eat.
All it ended up would be food, and then I dated that guy. Mm-hmm. So it all worked out. Food and men, that was my whole life. But Jay, listen to me, stop with the cigarettes. I think I recognize his name. Jay Mo, is that a big homo?
I don't know.
Jay, you big Mo, listen to me. Don't eat the cigarettes.
Don't eat the cigarettes. Don't eat the cigarettes, please.
I would smoke the food and eat the cigarettes.
There you go. That you'll definitely lose weight.
I would say so. You know that ballerinas do that, by the way? Not the cigarettes, but did you know, we talk in my play, stuffedplay.com for tickets. We talk about all the crazy diets people do. Mm. Did you know there's literally something called the cotton ball diet? I mean, this is nutty stuff where ballerinas would soak cotton balls in water or orange juice and eat them so that they feel full, but they're not.
Wow.
And they don't gain any weight. Can you imagine the dump?
I know. It's like you're shitting a comforter.
Exactly. How can you imagine? Now, was your daughter, I know you have a young daughter.
Yes.
Was she ever a dancer?
No. She took ballet like when she was six, and she's like, this is stupid.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I think dance is the enemy. Mm. Other than Dancing with the Stars, which I really hope you guys put me on there, because I really want to dance with Zarikov. Anyway, I believe that dancing is really evil because they teach these kids you got to be perfect. You can't be perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. But dude, the diet. I remember when my mother, oh my God, she in the 70s was on the cabbage soup diet, which was literally like in a newspaper and you would eat all the cabbage soup all day, which is real fun to be around as a child. There was the Carnation Instant Breakfast diet. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Yep.
Oh my God, it's all sugar. But who cares? You're hopped up on a chocolate shake.
I remember
shake.
AIDS. The
oh my
the
God!
Candy.
Guys, seriously, he's not kidding. It's called AIDS the candy, A-Y-D-S. And when the disease came out, they asked the guy to change the name of the candy. He said, no, we had the name first. And look at the product now. Right. But those supposedly tasted great.
Yeah, I remember those. I think I tried them for some reason.
Mike tried AIDS.
Yeah, I did try.
I want that as a drop, by the way, engineers for my show. Mike tried AIDS. Yeah, it didn't work.
Chewy little caramels.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what else did they do? The grapefruit diet. Mm-hmm. That was just grapefruit. You know, nothing really works. You know what works? Getting your feelings under control and not using other things to handle it. But that's very difficult. You can't win. I like I've told you before, 80-20. 80% of the time I cry, I have my feelings, or I emote, if you will. 20% of the time I'm a huge failure. Hey, either
that's
way.
Not bad. That's not
it's
bad.
It's not
though.
Bad. Yeah. Now, what else do my dopey fans?
Let's see who else. Jeffrey says sports. I don't know what that
means. That's a typical guy response.
Yeah, yeah. He's blocking.
Thinking,
he's,
yes. I'm thinking, does that mean gambling on sports, which is an addiction to gambling? Is it playing sports? Is it yelling at his kids while they play sports badly? So there's a lot of things. I think, or is it just obsessively watching
That's probably what it is.
You think so? Yeah. And alienating everyone around
the Sunday,
you.
Sunday, he's just downstairs.
Ugh. Yeah. I remember when I was married, I had to build Jimmy Big Balls a man cave. I've changed it now to be called the lady cave, but that sounds really dirty. Mm-hmm. So he would watch this sporting situations for so many hours. And I was glad because, like, we didn't, like, have a great relationship anyway. So I was like, oh, he's doing his thing. I'm doing mine, whatever the hell I did. Dude, I don't get it. I don't understand. Thank God his new wife loves these sports. They watch the sporting games.
He was a
games.
Fellow Jets fan, right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yes. Do guys, when they watch, are you a sports guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell me.
I'm not crazy, I do like football and baseball.
Okay, so tell me the thing that gets from being just a fan to making it, I'm numbing myself out with this.
It's easy to do, and I think especially if you're gambling on it, too, which I don't do, because then you have, like, I like the Jets, and I like the Mets, so that's why I'm always depressed.
Right.
But if you gamble, then every team is your team.
Right.
So you can't, you know, so if I watch the Jets, that's 3 hours a week that I'm killing. But if you have bets on every football game, you're watching every, or in baseball and basketball, so every game is important to you.
Right.
Yes, I don't give a shit what the Phoenix Suns are doing unless I have $200 on them.
Right.
So then all of a sudden your mind is like, you they're like your children.
Yeah. Well, so how is it different than just, when does enjoying something become using it to not feel something?
When you're watching a game, it's easy to say, you know, if you have kids or a wife or if you're a husband, if you like sports, now I'm watching the game.
Right.
So there you go. So then, and then, like you said, well, it's good. Go fucking watch the game. You don't have to. It gives you an excuse to ignore him.
And it gives you an excuse not to engage.
Right.
So engagement involves vulnerability, which is super hard because we don't want to show people our feelings. I remember as a kid not wanting to fall asleep in front of anybody because I was like afraid to be vulnerable or not like anyone who's going to cornhole me, thank God. But, maybe if I was cuter. But I think a lot of it is going, my defenses are down. Right. I can't show people I have feelings.
Right.
And that's why it's so funny. Like, there's very few times I've cried in print or I've cried on TV, except The Apprentice. I was always screaming and crying.
Yes, you were.
But I'm like, is that bad? I don't think so. Because I think it kind of shows people who I am. And, you know, I had a friend who recently criticized me for going, I can't believe you show them that. I can't believe you show them your feelings. Like, in your play, I get it. It's on stage. But, like, in real life, on the radio, showing people you have feelings, I don't think it's bad. It's better than going, okay, I'm going to feel it, not acknowledge it, and just be the tough guy all the time.
No, exactly. And especially, and again, like we said, in comedy, you have to give, I forgot what I was going to say. In comedy, you have to feel passionate about something.
Right.
So to make a comment on it, you have to feel it. You can't just be passive.
Well, what do you think about this? Here's a question about feelings. Recently, when I was trying out my new material, I did at this club in, I'm thinking what it was. I think it was that Birmingham, Alabama show. And there was a woman who would not shut up. Mm. Now, when I do theater shows, that rarely happens.
Rare.
But when you do comedy in a club, people think they could be a little more outspoken. She wouldn't shut up. And not at me, but really loud, distracting the people. So I go over and I go, dude, you need to be quiet. And she's like, I'm just like, eh. And I just go, seriously, you're not nice. You are distracting people around you. They paid money. I don't care about me. I can handle you, but you're terrible. And she goes, how do you know I'm terrible? You don't know anything about me. I go, here's what I need to know about you is that you're terrible in public. So that's all I need to know.
Right.
And then she said something else and it got really personal with me and her. And I got a little catch in my voice and I go, you know, as someone who's tried to, like, work on themselves. And so I talked a little and had a little catch in my throat. Mm-hmm. It wasn't crying. It wasn't. And ends up all good. She gets kicked out. It's funny. Everything's fine. And Frank said to me after my opening act, Frank DeCaro, who'll call in, and I hope he gains weight back so I have to, you know, punish him later. He said, I just hate to see when it looks like it really hurts you. And I'm like, but isn't it better to show people that you're human? Do you think it's better for even someone who's in a tough guy, political or comedic or whatever position to show who they are?
I think there's nothing wrong with it. It's an honest response. I mean, there's other ways you can handle it. You could have done it. I've seen you rip somebody's ass out for right. the same kind of thing. Or you can be honest, and either both are compelling, and mm-hmm. and this is where you are now. So
that's a good point. I think you have to be where you are. Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that one, because I see in a lot of T-shirts that say "Be here now," mm-hmm. and they each have a period after. Real nice. It drives the point home. Be here now, and then you say them all in a row. Be here now. But really, I can't deny that feelings come up now. You know, hey, maybe someday we'll rig this podcast so we have callers. Maybe somebody will say something that triggers me, and I'll get choked up. But is it really that bad to cry on TV or to be kind of show a feeling?
Not if you're a girl.
Yeah, really, not if you're a fucking fag. Yeah. Like, I really wish Trump would cry on TV. Maybe we'd see a humanity there. Hasn't Obama gotten teared up? I heard when the cast of Hamilton performed at the White House and George Washington's character full on sang about, you know, that you haven't seen Hamilton because you're poor.
Right.
But it's like this song about him saying goodbye to office, that Obama was full on crying, of course. And I think that shows strength. Mm-hmm. So people, I think we've learned a lot in this segment, which mm-hmm. is 1A, have your goddamn feelings. Don't shut up about them. Don't stuff it. I'm going to go down a quick list. My idiot friends on Facebook, these are the things they used to stuff themselves with. They say food, control, sports, weed, sex, relationships, copper wiring. Okay, well, I don't know what the fuck copper wiring is, but I kind of like this guy's the best. Tommy, I'm not going to use your whole name. You said you stuff regret and emotions. Now, if we stuff these things, they're going to come out a different way. They're going to come out yelling at a taxi cab driver, getting a freaking road rage accident, doing something, or maybe taking it out on your defenseless unpaid co-host, Mike Morse. I'm not stuffing anymore, Mike, and I hope you don't either.
Just my pants.
Exactly, and thank God you do. And when we come back after this small break, we're going to talk to my opening act, former Daily Show correspondent Frank DeCaro, and he will tell us if his feelings were stuffed this week. Come back in a little break. Get stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli.
Get stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. It's Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse, and we are back for what I like to call the third or second or first best segment of the show every week.
It's definitely one of those.
It is indeed. And Mike, you know what's weird? We kind of glossed over this the last segment, but we mentioned Mama June mm-hmm. and her white trash ass losing a bunch of weight.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking a lot about, like, I'm lucky to be enough at the level of celebrity. It doesn't really affect me. Nobody's taking pictures of me without makeup. Nobody's going to calling Us Magazine and saying, we think she gained 3 pounds. Look at her bikini shot on the beach, because I don't dare do that anyway. But a lot of celebrities have a really hard time going up and down, and it's a real struggle. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I mentioned Jonah Hill. And I do remember, because you know him, his weight goes up and down more than a groupie on Justin Bieber's cock. I mean, it's just like, you know, the sorority girl's head at a frat party. It's going up and down. So, but I love that about him, because I don't know, he doesn't kind of, at least in public, it doesn't seem to affect him. He's like, hey, I'm big today. Hey, I'm gotten nominated for another Oscar. Wow. You know, it's kind of easy to gain. Weight is soothed a lot by Oscar nominations.
Yes.
That's what
money
I like to think.
Money and Oscars.
That it does help.
Yeah.
You know, who else comes to mind for you? Because there's a lot of people who, damn, it's they're not forgiven for losing and gaining weight.
Right. Well, the one that lost a lot of weight recently, and she was huge, was Aretha Franklin.
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, I think she burned all those calories by singing the national anthem for 800 minutes that year. Right. That was ridiculous. But be that as it may, she used to be effing huge. Yeah. I don't know. Now I sound like a terrible person. I was going to say, I kind of liked her fat. That sounds like when people say that about me. Right. But there was something about seeing her And when she looked like they had taken all the Supremes and glued them together, including Jennifer Hudson and Jennifer Holliday and the cast of Dreamgirls, I kind of liked her. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I get that she needed to do it for her health. I hate to be like that. Oh, she did it for her health. But I get it. You know? Right. With Aretha Franklin, has she kept it off?
As far as I saw, last time I saw her, she did. But she has that, which you don't have, lucky enough, was that where the skin just sort of...
It's like a
mudslide coming off your body.
Yes, yes, yes. I didn't have that. It's like somebody was whitewater rafting and it just stuck.
Yes.
That poor thing, because that's the worst. Because mm-hmm. did you know, by the way, which is totally unethical, I think... You can lose the weight from a weight loss surgery or naturally, and then it's not covered by insurance if you need that skin cut off, which is terrible because it's a health hazard. I'm sorry. It's not just, I want to be pretty, so I need 60 pounds of skin cut off.
Right.
Aretha, get your chicken wings done, honey.
Yeah, you don't want to be tripping over your gut.
That's the worst when your gunt trips you. Oh, my God. Who else?
Jordan Sparks.
Oh, yeah. She was cute. Mm-hmm. Is she still a thing?
I don't know.
Well, you know how I feel about her. She's very pretty, first of all. I love pretty girls who get thin because they're a double whammy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I always hate when they say, but she has such a pretty face, but she's fat, because really, it's not very attractive. Just kidding. But honestly, Jordan looked good. She, from what I heard, lost weight because someone said, aren't you Ruben Studdard? That was the worst.
Yep.
You know, that's when somebody said to me, aren't you Artie Lang? That's what made me lose the weight. It has to happen. You know who else? Comics. When comics lose weight. Okay, Drew Carey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in shock that he kept his weight off. Him and Jimmy Kimmel look fantastic. Jimmy, to me, looks more naturally thin. Drew, I always feel, is on the verge. You know what I mean? Like, now, the only thing that weighs a lot on Drew are those big fucking stupid glasses that he spays and neuters or whatever. Oh, my God. Bob Barker, come on, please. So, yeah, I'm always shocked. I tune in almost to see, did Drew gain it back? And he doesn't.
Still doesn't. Still on that set. And let's make a deal. He made a deal with the devil.
Sorry. Wrong show, stupid.
Or whatever.
That's the Price is Right.
Price is Right.
I love that we're not going to edit this out, because I want you to see that not only does Mike not watch enough game shows, I watch too many. And you know, the only reason I watch them is because freaking Gloria, my mother, that's all she watches.
That's it.
That and the Church Channel.
Really?
But we'll talk about that some other time.
That's
if
a whole
I come
other...
in and I see that goddamn nun given that freaking rosary.
Angela, is that Mother Angela?
I think she's dead, but my mother watches her dead reruns.
Yeah, she's still on.
Very sad. Oh, my God. All right. Oh, you know who cracked me up? Like when Snooki lost weight.
Oh, yeah.
Snooki, the orange traffic cone. She was the original orange traffic cone before Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up because it's so funny. People are like, Snooki, yeah, she loses weight, goes away. Nobody cares about her.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
It's so sad. Is she still a thing? Half of our people who lost weight no longer are a thing. I think we freaking hit on it, what it is.
Yeah.
You lose weight, and if you have no talent, you disappear.
You're done.
Literally. And I hope the same does not happen for our special call-in guest. He calls in every week after losing over 110 pounds at the behest and the berating of Miss Lisa Lampanelli, calling in for his weekly weigh-in with Frank DiCaro.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the weigh-in with Frank.
Lisa, Mike.
Hello, hello.
Yay.
I'm so glad to be here because I have good news, but you have to ask for it or I'm not going
to
tell you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because it's so hard to pull shit out of you. Jesus Christ. Okay,
not
Frank.
Not so much lately.
You know what, Frank? I'm going to pull it out of you. Frank, what's your good news?
I didn't gain any weight.
Shut up.
I didn't gain any weight. Yes.
Wait.
I didn't gain. Yes.
As a person who, as you know, is glass mostly empty, I think we can rephrase this as bad news. Frank, you didn't lose any weight, did you?
No, but I, at this point, I'm looking at the mirror and I'm kind of making peace with this fella who's the 206-pound fella. I'm kind of okay with him right now. He can hang out for a while. If we go back in once I'm working out again and we lose a few more, that'll be good. But right now, he can hang out as I recuperate from the Lisa Lampanelli-mandated gallbladder surgery. So as I continue to get stronger and back to my old self. So I'm glad.
Now, Frank, let me ask you something. We're talking about celebrities who lost weight. And first of all, I must say, I joke with you, but I'm very pleased you didn't gain weight because that's very hard in a week. And you're really under the gun. When I was doing my surgery, and the last 5 years, no one was making me call into a show every single week and saying their weight. That's really hard because it went up and down within 5 pounds. And you're embarrassed. So I think with you, this is very brave. So as a
thank you. I have to be brave to be you are the only relationship I have that requires a safe word. It's
I know.
True. If you're
going to
be friends with Lisa, you need one.
And the safe word between me and Frank is gunt. So Frank, here's the thing. As a celebrity, I'm going to use that in quotes.
Big air quotes.
First of all, I hope you're famous enough someday to be berated for losing weight and gaining it back. However,
oh, I can only hope.
Oh, yes. Do you feel that celebrities you've observed over the years, what do you think about their weight loss and gain? Who have you kind of, who's been on your radar?
When I look at the thing that it, when I looked at the great scheme of things as I was sort of planning the next phase of my career, it dawned on me that if you're fat and white, and I don't mean to sound as racist as Lisa, but if you're fat and white in show business, you have to be British. If you see, because this is true, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now Adele is gorgeous, but but a big girl, right? We used to be very close in size. I love her. So, I love her a lot. James Corden.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Carpool karaoke guy. Cute as a button. Giant toddler body, but British.
Oh, my God.
Right? Adorable. Yeah, he's got a big toddler body. But if James, I always say this, if James Corden was American, you know where he would be? He'd be opening for Lisa Lampanelli in Birmingham, Alabama.
That's true, man.
What?
So the British, you know what it is? The British outweighs the need to be thin. So we go, oh, they're kind of acceptable because they have that exotic British thing. We'll accept that they still get to be fat.
Yeah, there's something about that. We think they're cute. And it's not even cute for a fat guy. They're just, he's cute.
He is.
In America, the most you can hope for, if you're fat and white, is cute for a fat guy. You can hope for that. But I have to say, you mentioned before about like Jonah Hill and stuff. Jonah is lucky because he's heterosexual, as they say in nowhere. And he, because he's a straight, it's a little bit easier because there's pressure on the gays. Remember Sam Smith? He sang that song, Stay With Me?
Yes, yes,
remember?
Yes.
Yeah, his song should have been Stay With Me or I'll Eat This Whole Fucking Cake because he was fat. Okay?
Wait, Frank.
And I love him.
Frank, wait.
Yes.
Did he get famous first and then lose weight?
He won an armload of Grammy Awards, fat.
Mm.
And then, because he's a gay, he had the pressure. It's like, even how many Grammys? I have 16 Grammys and a love handle. Well, the love handle has to go.
Right.
So he had to lose weight and he did. And so now he's gorgeous and then he won an Oscar on top of it. So he's gorgeous and he has an Oscar.
Do you think the Oscar meant more to him than the Grammys? Not because it's an Oscar, but because you just enjoy the triumph when you're thinner more?
Yes, but here's the thing. I have this on good authority. Sam Smith went home from the Oscars that night and shoved that Oscar right up his ass. We know he did, because that's what gays do. Because we do, every one of us. He shoved it right up his butt. And you know why? Because I would. I know I would. If I won an Oscar, and it's the only major award. Write this down. The only major award that is tapered for his pleasure.
Frank, you want to know what's bizarre about this?
What?
Mike wrote it down. Mike's not even a gay, and he wrote that down.
That's good advice. I'm giving advice. I've learned from the mistress of good advice, Lisa Lampanelli, to dole out wisdom. And here, Mike, write this one down. This is a cautionary tale. Do not try that with another major. Never with an Emmy.
Oh,
ever.
Oh yeah.
Because the wings will rip the shit right out of you. Don't do it. Okay? It's tempting, but say no to your major award.
God.
Why would... But honestly, I think if you're going to be in show business, there are a million ways for you to be get a line through your name and someone saying, please, don't pick him. That if you can try, I'm going to stay fat and they're going to love me no matter. Or you're just going to go, all right, you win. I'm going to show you how good I look in clothes. You know, they're never going to see me out of it. But, you know, you'll see me in clothes and you'll know that now I can, like, I could interview someone on a red carpet and take up one spot, you know, as opposed to three. So I can fit, you know. I wouldn't cast a shadow over the celebrity if I were talking to them. I could even walk the red carpet, and they could still see the step and repeat with the sponsor.
Well, there's the thing.
I'm not that big.
Here's the thing with you. You no longer smell like burning tires when you walk and your pants are up together. Now
I could. Oh, corduroy was like a brush fire. Oh,
it
my
was.
God.
Now, terrible. Listen. Mike, do you have a question? I see you're chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I want to double back up to that Oscar up
wow,
the ass.
Wow, I think he's taking notes on how to shove an Oscar up his
I'm
ass.
I'm just curious, like, how far would it go up exactly? Do you have any idea? Would it go to the shoulders?
No, are you kidding? Underachiever? No, you have used the two words that every man loves the best, the base. Okay, it's like, go to the base. It's like, that's, got soldiers, every fella likes that. We do.
So once you do that, you would actually look like a statue because you would just have a little base sticking on your ass.
You would. You just a little sit and spin. I think, I always tell people whenever they ask about this, because I do warn, when I open for Lisa Lampanelli, I warn the guys in the front row, that if they've never bottomed before, Lisa's going to get them. Okay, I do.
Oh, yes.
I like to warn them. And, you know, so they're loose a little bit. But no, but it only hurts in the beginning of the Oscar ceremony. You know, I think after, by the time you're you know, at the governor's ball, you're loosened up enough to shove it right in. I think it works out well. Because you're so excited that you have this major award that no one can take away from you. And so you just think, what could I do?
Are no stranger to the celebrity life, and you are no stranger to having your opinions. And one person, I know that you really do accept other people for who they are if they're thin and gorgeous. So who to you, seriously, is an ideal body type for a celebrity? Like, I know gays are rougher on women. Who, as a woman, do you feel has the celebrity body?
I think if you're going to be a celebrity, the perfect celebrity, to me, is Taylor Swift.
Mm.
I like Taylor Swift. So you know why I like Taylor Swift? Mm. She is so thin, she doesn't even fly anymore. They just slip her into a FedEx envelope and they ship her to her next gig.
That's true.
That's chic. That is the chic way to travel. If you can't go in mint, you go in a FedEx envelope and it's perfect and you go and it's so she's great. I love that about it, and I love, she named her album 1989, right? But remember that, not the new one, we got a new one coming, I'm excited, but 1989 was the one we all paid attention to.
Yep.
And that was named after the last year she ate solid food.
That's true.
Yes.
Frank, do you know, was she born in 1989? Is that why she called that album?
I think probably that's what it was, which just makes me sad. So I'm just going to stick with the last year she ate solid food. Because if it turns out that I was already bitter the year she was born, that's bad. You know, so I don't want to do the math and figure that out.
Well, you know, for a young girl, she is a bit of a, I'm not going to say whore, because she is.
Oh my God. Every picture of her. And you look at her in those pictures, I think there's a little bit of Little Miss Limber about her.
Certainly
more limber than you or I. Okay. But every picture with a different guy, I think she fucks all those guys. Everyone she takes a picture with, I think she fucks them.
Hey, those albums aren't going to write themselves, okay?
It's true.
Mike, I think that's her only source of protein. I do. I really do.
Well, Frank, you know what's weird? I'm actually drinking a protein shake right now, and I'm sickened. Okay? And I'm throwing it away because it's white, and I don't need that.
Don't drink it swiftly.
Thank
you. That would be bad.
Listen, Frank, I'm going to tell you something about you. If there's any God, which there is not, you will be keeping this weight off. You will be more famous. You will also get your much dreamed about yet much maligned sitcom someday. And I'm very proud of you this week because I genuinely laughed from the heart several times. And trust me, Mike never makes me do that. So thank you very much. Congratulations on maintaining your weight. And you will call us again next week or be punished.
Definitely. And I'll have to say the P word again, if that's really going to be the punishment, unless you think of new stuff for me to do.
Oh. We will. We'll keep thinking. And by the way, just say pussy real quick.
Pussy.
Oh, God. I just did not come. Thank you, Frank.
He just channeled Paul Lynde.
He really did. Pussy. <I can't. laughs> Bye, Frank.
Bye. Oh.
Ming. Well.
That was a...
We learned a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go home and write a spec script, Frankie and Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. Literally, when he said he stuck it up his ass, I guarantee you that's true. And when he won all those Grammys, I'm thinking about the shape of a Grammy. That's like a... Isn't it a Victrola? Yeah. You could shove one end up.
Right.
And then the big horn part comes out. It's like a cheerleading megaphone. And to think of the fart sounds that would make.
Yeah, it would be like a tuba.
It would. Yeah. Think of how classy we are. I think we learned today, talking about food and feelings and triggers, I think we've figured out how to not avoid our feelings, how to put a Victrola up our asshole, and that Sam Smith's true talent is something only Frank DiCaro knows for sure. What have you learned, Mike? Anything else?
I learned as soon as we're done, I'm running over to Times Square and getting one of those fake Oscars.
Yeah, you know, I have one that says best mom and I'm not even a mother. Now, listen, people. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the podcast. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse. If you'd like tickets for my show where those two skinny broads make me feel bad about myself, go to stuffedplay.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll shit your pants, and you can even bring food in the theater, which is not really true, but I say that to get them there because they're all fat.
Sneak it in.
It's true. Just sneak it in. Bring your dog. If it's service vest, too. If you want to eat the dog and you're Asian. So listen, Mike, can you tell us where to find you on social media?
I'm on Facebook, Mike Morse, M-O-R-S-E, and Mike Morse Says on Twitter.
Yes, and to find Frank DiCaro, my lovely open act, go to Frank DiCaro Show on Instagram and Facebook. And to find me, look, if you don't know, go fuck yourselves. For this and other great podcasts, go to feralaudio.com. Listen up, bitches.
Did you get stuffed? She's the queen of mean. She can't be tamed, larger than life with a tiny frame. She's raw as hell, she's hot, she's rough, she's Lisa Lampanelli, and you just got stuffed.